The next speaker we have for this morning is Melissa Genereau, I hope I pronounced that correctly, towards a methodological shift in the representation of neighborhood for vulnerable urban population studies, the example of the Montreal injection drug users.
Hi, it's a great pleasure for me to be here. I'm a community health resident at the University of Montreal, so I'm sorry for my accent. I try to do my best. So today I'm going to present and illustrate a new method for representing neighborhoods for studies interested in the health of vulnerable urban population. But first of all, I have no relationships to disclose. And I also want to thank the investigators, co-investigators, and all other colleagues that have been involved into this research project, as well as, of course, all the participants. So as you all know, I guess there has been an explosion in the numbers of study interested in the neighborhood and health. And these studies face many challenges in representing neighborhoods, particularly with regards to choosing the appropriate delineation and size of neighborhoods. And most of these studies have used administrative units as proxies for neighborhoods, including enumeration area, census tracts, and US zip codes. And we believe that these units are frequently used as there are many kinds of available data at this level, including socioeconomic data. And it's also generally assumed that these units are quite homogeneous with respect to several living conditions. However, many searchers recently argued that administratively fixed boundaries of these units may somewhat disagree with the health-related processes under study. There is a more novel and rising approach to represent neighborhood, the one that we're proposing today, which consists to the creation of circular buffer zones, which are centered on the each participant's residential address. And this method implies the use of a geographic information system, or a GIS. And it's pretty interesting because these individualized neighborhoods allow us first to calculate many kinds of summary measures of local factors within these circular buffer zones, and it also allows us to select specific sites which are thought to be relevant for specific health outcomes or health-related processes. And literature shows that searchers usually use a spatial scale, usually varying between 100 meters and 2 kilometers. Depending on the health outcome, for sure, of course. So we're going to illustrate this method through the problematic of bloodborne viruses among injection drug users, or IDUs. Indeed, there has been a recent increase in HIV and hepatitis C infection among IDUs, particularly in large urban areas like Montreal. And this increase is directly caused by sexual and injection risk behaviors. And as opposed to individual determinants of these risk behaviors, which are pretty well understood, we know little about the local socioeconomic factors that might influence these risk behaviors. And to address this issue, searchers first need to determine which neighborhood definition would be the most suitable for this health outcome. And we thought that the creation of a circular space centered on the usual dwelling plates in which IDUs are thought or hypothesized to spend most of the time would be quite interesting and maybe conceptually very interesting. And about the relevant size, literature has shown that a 10-minute or a 500-meter walking distance seems to be a reasonable travel distance for IDUs to access surrounding services and resources. Our main hypothesis was that high-risk injection behaviors among inner-city IDUs was associated with two local socioeconomic factors, that is, educational attainment and income levels of residents. So we conducted a cross-sectional study between 2004 and 2006 in the Montreal's Ville-Marie borough, which is widely regarded as the inner city of Montreal, as it is the oldest and most central portion of the city. This borough is also has also the highest level of crimes and poverty in the, of all boroughs in Montreal. So our final sample was composed of 219 active inner city IDUs that were all drawn from a Saint-Luc cohort. And these IDUs were mostly recruited into the community, so through word of mouth and community-based agencies. You can see here the Highland of Montreal and the central location of the Ville-Marie borough, or the inner city of Montreal. We assigned neighborhood data to each participant using the postal code that was corresponding to their usual dwelling place. So we asked to each participant to identify on a map or just name the place or the cross street intersection closest to the place they most often slept within the last month. And then after, we helped them to identify the corresponding postal code, six-digit postal code. Then we geocoded this postal code using a GIS. And the Canadian postal code is pretty interesting as it's far more precise than the US zip code. So it corresponds really to a small area. In fact, it corresponds to only one side of one street. So it has been shown that it accurately approximates the residential location. So it really corresponds to a point location. So once the postal code geocoded, we could create circular buffer zones using a 500-meter radius. And these buffer zones were centered on each participant's postal code. So you can see here the results. We can see the red circles, which correspond to neighborhood, and then the green point at the center, which corresponds to each postal code. We then selected two socioeconomic factors from the 2001 census data, which was first the proportion of households living below the low-income cutoffs and the proportion of adults having a university degree. And these data were available at the smallest census area, which is the enumeration area level. Once these data were gathered, we could calculate the population-weighted average of these two factors within each of the buffer zones. Our outcome, as I told you, was the high-risk injection behavior. So we asked to each participant if they practiced any of these three behaviors within the last 6 months. So the answer was yes or no. And we also took into account several individual covariates. So we conducted a multivariate logistic regression analysis. Just before showing you the results, you can see here the relation between the small rectangles, which corresponds to enumeration area, and the red circles, which I told you corresponds to our neighborhoods. So you can see that within each buffer zone, we have many small enumeration areas, so we had to calculate an average of factors located within each buffer zone. So for results, I'll simply show you two tables. The first one, it's about the descriptive characteristic of our sample, which I remember is composed of inner city IDUs from Montreal. And you can see that about a third of our participants reported high-risk injection behavior within the last month. The vast majority of them were male, and about two-thirds of them were reporting unstable housing. It's also interesting to note that about 20% were infected by HIV and almost 80% by hepatitis C. The second table, a little bit more complex, shows the adjusted association between our outcome, high-risk injection behavior, and our two neighborhood socioeconomic factors, which were considered simultaneously in the same model. So our first observation is that IDUs living in the lowest income neighborhoods were 4 to 5 times more likely to report high-risk injection behavior related to those living in higher income neighborhoods. So it's not really surprising, and it was significant. And our second observation is quite counterintuitive, as it shows that IDUs living in less educated neighborhoods were two times less likely to report high-risk injection behavior related to those living in highly educated neighborhoods. So it's a little bit the contrary to what we could have expected. And it was significant. So to sum up, we observed quite high magnitude of influence of these of the local socioeconomic factors on injection behavior. And if we want to compare to the few previous studies on local socioeconomic factors and IDUs, injection-related behavior, these studies observed a relatively lower magnitude of associations. And we also know that the few studies have all used different kinds of administrative units. So we're really the first to use the circular buffer zone approach. So we may be tempted to say that our approach for the representing neighborhood is better than the other one, or better capture the local social environment. But we have to be careful, as the context of the study were pretty different. Our study was in Montreal, other studies were in the United States, so very, very different context. Despite this major limit, we still would like to argue that the circular buffer zone approach may be better or more suitable than administrative units for this kind of study. First, because the fixed boundaries of administrative units may not be that meaningful for those residing at or close to the artificial limit separating one area from the other. So we don't meet that kind of problem using the buffer zone centered on each residential address. And second, vulnerable population, including IDUs, low-income adults, elderly, and even children, may spend a large amount of their time surrounding their usual dwelling place. So it might be in public or private spaces. So we believe that for this particular population, it's quite meaningful to use a circular approach. So to conclude, there's a clear need to identify the pathway through which local factors are expected to affect health outcomes under study. And we believe that for vulnerable urban population studies, a very promising approach consists of the creation of buffer zones. Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. Would things like the McGill Ghetto, or were you able to control things like university students living in the same area? I don't remember from the map exactly where.
It was within the inner city, so you're right that the McGill Ghetto was included in this study. But no, we didn't stratify for this place and other places within the inner city. And our variable was the proportion of adults having a university degree. So it was not really going to university, but...
No, I know, but if you got one, like, I would think that a large proportion, well, my memories of Montreal, a large proportion of the people were in the ghetto were not necessarily doing a baccalaureate degree, they were doing an advanced degree.
Mm-hmm, yeah, master and... Yeah, that's a good point, and we cannot be sure. That could be one hypothesis, but the other one would be that IDUs living in highly educated neighborhoods might be more marginalized, and you know, so less organized in their daily activities as they are marginalized. So this could influence risk behaviors during injections. Oh, what? You too.
Well, you said about 68% appeared to be homeless or didn't have definite location. And you're putting circles around where they sleep. Did they indicate that they were spending their time near where they were sleeping, or is that just an assumption?
Yeah, it's totally an assumption, because it would be very difficult to, in a simple questionnaire, you know, to ask every places and try to create a neighborhood for each of the participants. But that's why we changed the usual question. So we ask them really to name the place they most often slept within the last month, assuming that around this place they would spend most of their time. But of course, it's not perfect. It doesn't take into account all their moves. But we also know that these people don't have usually a lot of money, so they don't use the transportation. You know, they usually don't have a car, so they're less mobile. And especially within the inner city, because all the resources and services are located around, so all concentrated within the inner city, so they don't need to move around or go elsewhere to access services they need. But of course, it's not a perfect way of representing neighborhood.
Yeah.
The Canadian postal system sounds like a great way to pinpoint people. Have you given any thoughts to how to translate it into the U.S.?
That's a big issue. I mean, we're pretty lucky for searchers interested in that kind of study. We're very lucky in Canada, and especially in large urban areas, because a six-digit postal code is not that precise when we're going in rural areas, where sometimes only one village has the same postal code, so it wouldn't be really interesting to determine the point location with this measure. But I know that I was really surprised to learn that the U.S. zip codes was that large, that was even larger than a census tract. So for me, I'm sad for you. I don't know. I think, not because I really like that kind of research, but maybe asking the...
Yeah? In the U.S, we have
10-digit
zip codes.
Oh, yeah? Okay. But do you have that kind access to that kind of data? Because I didn't.
Yeah.
Ah, good. So that might be the alternative. Good.